44, presentation on homeless camps in the city of Fargo. Brenda Derrick to explain. And some others.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. In response to the last discussion at last meeting, Chandler and I will be presenting on this very important topic. So I wanted to start with, what have we been doing to date on the management of our homeless camps? So to date, we have been doing outreach to the homeless camps. It's been ongoing. In 2016, a specific outreach position was created, which has evolved to include mobile outreach and the Homeless Engagement Assistance and Response Team, which is our neighborhood outreach team downtown. In addition to community-based organizations having their own outreach positions. So historically, the Park District and the city were doing periodic cleanings of camps, which included disposing of items. Through our staff meetings last year, there's been a concern on if we were saving those important items and what we were doing with those items. And so last year, we started meeting collaboratively with harm reduction staff, police, fire, public works, and park to discuss how to manage those camps and what options we have moving forward. So a couple of things we have started doing this spring is we have started to map and track the camps internally to maintain awareness of where the camps are located and who is occupying them. We do now have an option on Fargo One, so when residents see a homeless camp or an individual sleeping outside, they do have an opportunity to report that on Fargo One. And what that does is go to harm reduction staff. They process and follow up with the location of the camp or person. So one of the things I want to talk about, we've been hearing some of this conversation on the Johnson versus Grants Pass. The Supreme Court has heard this argument. So what Grants Pass did is they did bar anyone through ordinance of sleeping in public spaces, including parks, sidewalks, and cars, or using sleeping materials for the purpose of maintaining a temporary place to live under the threat of criminal and civil penalty. In the city code, the public space was defined as city halls, community centers, police, fire stations, parking lots, traffic islands, and urban beautification areas that are owned and maintained by the city. So the district court, there has been an injunction by the district court on this ruling as of July 2020, and the circuit court also had an injunction in 2022. The Ninth District Court barring the city from enforcing the ordinance. So the Ninth District Court of Appeals has held the lower court's opinion that the ordinance violated the cruel and unusual punishment clause because the Grants Pass residents had no other option for shelter. So the Supreme Court has heard the arguments, and they're thinking by the end of June they should be providing a decision. So if the Johnson versus Grants Pass decision is overturned, it does allow cities to ban public camping, but it does not require them to. Knowing that we do not currently have available housing for our unhoused, we kind of started asking ourselves some questions of, do we even want to consider camping along the river, which is where we see a lot of our camping, if they aren't engaging in our services? And do we want to allow camping just in a certain area where the engagement center services are accessible?
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Chandler Esslinger, and I'm the community liaison for Fargo Cass Public Health in the Harm Reduction Division. And I'm going to give you a quick overview of how we utilize Fargo One so that residents can report any homeless camps or individuals sleeping outside in a place not meant for human habitation. As you can see on the bottom, those are screenshots of what Fargo One looks like from a user perspective, and we have two separate options depending on how an individual may come across somebody in our community that meets those qualifications. So when someone does identify a camp or an unsheltered person, they can make that report in Fargo One, either online through the app or by calling 311. The Harm Reduction Division then receives those Fargo One reports and acknowledges that we've received them. The outreach team makes every effort to contact the camp within two business days. That's the goal that we have internally, to try to attempt to make contact with anybody in a camp. We then collect information about who's staying at the camp, try to understand what their needs are, potentially get them access to additional resources, and just encourage good neighbor-like behavior. That information is then input from Fargo One and the reports from our outreach team into ArcGIS, which is our internal monitoring tool, and that results in an updated map of camp activity and any other details the outreach team may need to know until those reports can be transferred on to another department. So this is another flowchart of a proposed way that a camp protocol could work, kind of depending on the direction of the commission tonight. So again, when camp contact is made, the outreach team works to make contact within two business days. And then we want to understand if that camp is currently engaging in services through the city, whether that's with our outreach team or the Downtown Engagement Center. If they are, and they are in an area that we would maybe allow somebody to camp, and they maintain in good standing, we would be able to work with that camp until we would be able to identify appropriate housing availability or shelter. If they aren't currently engaged in DEC services or with the outreach team, we would work with them to build relationships to encourage that relationship. However, if they continued to not engage in DEC services, or they were in an unacceptable camping location and either refused to move or weren't able to move into appropriate shelter or housing, we would then begin a camp removal process. However, as we'll talk about later, our goal is to not remove camps at all, but rather move people into permanent housing.
So some of our thoughts on management of homeless camps going forward is currently the only tool we have if we are not going to allow camping, or if we want to manage camping, is to trespass someone from our public property. And so our thought is, if we do an ordinance that does not allow camping on public property unless by resolution, that takes that trespass part out of the activity, and it would be turned into like a fine. The other, in team with that ordinance, we could look at a resolution that would allow camping with maybe parameters. You could require locations. We would require rules and expectations. Some cities have required a permit, and some have required a time requirement. So you can only camp at night, and then you have to pack up and be moving around during the day. And so there are different requirements that could go with the resolution. And the resolution would be around while we are trying to work on a housing first policy or procedure.
So as mentioned earlier, the outreach team makes regular contact with camps that have been identified in our community. And we work with them to identify, you know, what does good neighbor behavior look like. And so we do have some draft expectations, just to give you a high level overview of what's possible. So expectations that would be provided to homeless camps would include both guidance for the camp itself and also what kind of support they can expect from the outreach team and the Downtown Engagement Center to maintain camp cleanliness and just be in compliance with those rules. Some expectations could include, but would not necessarily be limited to, a geographic location of where camping would be allowed, distance between camps to ensure safety and just kind of multiple tents in one area, standards for camp cleanliness, as well as supplies to maintain that camp cleanliness, a commitment to safety and nonviolence from the campers, and then also that expectation to engage with the outreach team and DEC programming. So we also wanted to highlight how the approach that we have been discussing is in alignment with the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness's best practices for addressing encampments. Given the size of our communities, these standards are able to be scaled up or scaled down, kind of depending on what you're dealing with. And so as you can see, the first four principles there are kind of the guiding principles that we've utilized up until this point in how we are managing outreach and also working interdepartmentally to come up with a protocol that would be appropriate. So we have engaged multiple departments within the city, as well as our community-based organizations, to identify what an appropriate response would look like. As our outreach team has met with people living in camps currently, there's been broad consensus that they would be willing to engage with the outreach team in the Downtown Engagement Center in maintaining that camp compliance. And we've been able to address some of those basic needs. And if we were able to move folks into permanent housing, work with them to pack up their camps and move into that location. And so now kind of the next step is identifying how we can abide by principles 5 and 6, which is really ensuring that either access to shelter or housing options are available, and that we are developing those pathways to permanent housing and supports, which of course leads us to principle 7, which is the hope that if we are able to successfully do this, we would have no camps along the river because everybody would have access to the shelter or housing resources they need. So just a quick overview of what Housing First is and kind of how it applies to our community is that Housing First is an approach that offers access to permanent housing as quickly as possible for individuals experiencing homelessness, and then provides support services and connections to community-based resources to maintain that housing stability and prevent a return to homelessness. That's really what's unique about the Housing First approach compared to traditional models, is that these teams work continuously to keep people in their homes so that return to homelessness does not occur.
So yeah, and I thought it was a great time for James Matthey to come back next week. I think the timing was really good. We got to spend some more time with him and visit with him, and we continue to visit with him, and he's very excited about our community. It's really interesting. As people come to Fargo, they seem to get very excited and about the community engagement of wanting to do something also. So we continue to visit with James Matthey to work towards Housing First, and also working with staff on what a plan would look like if we could move towards that Housing First model.
So as I already mentioned, one of the pieces that we're missing is that consistent pathway to permanent housing. And so Mr. Matthey's presentations back in February really outline how Milwaukee has utilized both a Housing First approach with a master leasing strategy. And this combination of approaches helps remove barriers to housing for individuals who would maybe not be as successful navigating housing on their own. And then, of course, ensuring that they remain housed. Milwaukee chose to combine these approaches because of the slim availability of affordable housing in Milwaukee and to ensure that those appropriate support services were available. That is a really crucial part of Housing First, is ensuring that people who are moving into permanent housing have access to the services they need in order to meet all of their needs and, again, maintain that housing stability. Using this approach, Milwaukee has seen a housing retention rate of 97% with participants in their Housing First program, and a 91.8% reduction of unsheltered street homelessness in 5 years. And their population that qualified under that definition is quite larger than ours. And just as Brenda mentioned, on Tuesday, June 18th, we did have a really successful event where over 150 of our community members got together to learn about a solution to homelessness through the documentary Beyond the Bridge. And this documentary heavily features the Milwaukee approach of both Housing First and a master leasing strategy. And we included the link to the film trailer on the presentation for you as well. So what we would like to propose as kind of a companion to homeless camp expectations and protocol is a Fargo Streets to House pilot project. So this is something we would like to explore. We would like to explore 10 scattered site master lease units throughout Fargo. This would, of course, require partnerships with one or more property managers to identify those units. These 10 units would be used to move people who are currently camping outside directly into permanent housing and ending their homelessness. This pilot project would also need to include a case manager to oversee the movement into permanent housing and the provision of those support services and the connection to those community-based resources that are really the bread and butter of Housing First and ensure that housing stability. When talking with our local outreach team, movement of 10 individuals into permanent housing would reduce the unsheltered homeless population along the river by an estimated 50%.
So, knowing that we do not have enough housing for all of our unhoused, these are some of our requests. We have not had a conversation yet with the commission and the leadership, and so just understanding what your thoughts and desires are, we would be looking at pursuing a draft ordinance that would not allow camping on public lands except by resolution. And then we'd be looking at input of, you know, what would you like to see in that draft resolution if we are going to be allowed camping in certain areas with certain requirements in according with the Housing First philosophy. And then also, would you like to see us continue to work towards drafting a Fargo Streets to House pilot project? So these are the three items that we are bringing forward for discussion.
Questions by commission or comments? Mr. Preston.
This is a really thorough look at an approach, it sure sounds like. What I'm a little bit confused about, it seems like the most immediate issue here are the encampments. Are you suggesting that those would get delayed until all of this is in place? The draft, the ordinance, and the resolution and policy? Or are you looking at something more immediate?
So I'm gonna start and then Chandler can jump in. So we have been taking the even though they have not been approved by the leadership, we have been talking to the people camping and talking to them about expectations and desires and right now, I think it's been embraced by the people that are by the river that we care enough that we want to have some rules along with them camping. So we have been having those conversations. Our outreach team has been having those conversations with the people camping along the river. We have just started assembling some information as to what a pilot project could look like. We don't have that completely assembled yet, but we will continue to work on it. The ordinance will take some time to move through the system. And so these are kind of our first steps.
If I can do a follow-up.
Mr. Preston.
So currently, with what you're currently doing, you have enough staff resources to actually connect with people in the encampments.
Yes, outreach would remain ongoing, kind of regardless, because that's the role that we play in harm reduction. And so this is really an opportunity, I think, to marry both the public's concerns around camps as well as the health and well-being of people living along the river and ensuring that we're meeting their needs as much as possible while we try to find those pathways to permanent housing.
Chandler, one of the concerns Mr. Pipcorn brought up was on the north side where river had gone up and people were moving closer to homes. Are we addressing those issues?
Yes. So there would, given the permission of the commission, we would look into some geographic limitations to ensure that outreach can be done consistently based on the capacity of our outreach team and that they would be in proximity to resources like the Downtown Engagement Center. And so the preference would be to either relocate camps from a more residential area to a place along the river that has been kind of designated as an allowable place. But ultimately, what we would prefer is not to have to relocate anybody at all, but really explore that master leasing pilot project to just move people directly into housing.
I would assume the residents on the north side would like somebody moved somewhere, so we would address those issues.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Any other, Commissioner Pipcorn?
So, Mr. Chairman, obviously, I have lots of problems with this whole thing, so we'll have lots of time to discuss it. But first of all, Lindenwood, we have a campground there. That's where you have campground. If we allow this, it's not just for homeless. You can't discriminate. Everyone should be able to camp then along the river. That you can't just have certain groups. That's discrimination. And so if you allow camping, and that's in all city-owned land, if they can camp, then you can camp. And so that's what we have to keep in mind. You can't just say, oh, it's only for certain people, then it's going to be okay. And so there's a lot of people that have houses that are along the river that are not going to be pleased with you have camping along the river. And then on top of that, right now, what do we have? Flooding. And then on top of that, what do we have? Sanitation issues with health. Where are the bathrooms and all those going to be placed? Because right now there are some, and obviously we know people are not using restrooms. They're using wherever they're camping. So that's not, it's not healthy. It's a public safety issue. So we got lots of issues, but I think, I honestly don't even know where to start. But to
me, they're pursuing an ordinance. So you'd like them to pursue an ordinance, no camping on public property.
Well, no, I mean, we have campgrounds. If you have a designated campground with restrooms and all that, that's what we have. Every place else, you can't camp there. Is that confusing? It seems confusing to you.
We don't have an ordinance, Dave, so we have to pass an ordinance.
Well, what concerns me even more was the Park District up to this point was telling people they couldn't be on Park District land. I don't know if it was our city attorney or our police, but somebody told the Park District, you can't remove people. You can't tell them they can't be on encampments on Park District land. That concerns me because to me, that's crossing the line from being an attorney to telling other people how to run their business. So I don't know how that all went, but something happened where our Park District was instructed to no longer remove people that were in encampments. So this is a huge issue and we have lots of time to discuss it, but I'm looking forward to the discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Strand.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. You know, the number that we could, with housing accommodations, get 10 people out into permanent housing and off the camps, and that would be 50% of our camping population. I go, let's go to 20 now. Let's step it up to what our needs are. There's not much difference between 10 and 20. That's my first thought. A question that occurs to me is, what type of cross-jurisdictional partnering is there with Moorhead in Minnesota? If we have jurisdictional, we're on North Dakota side, they're on the Minnesota side. I don't know what this will mean in that geographic bigger picture, but we need partners on both sides to embrace these approaches to housing, people that aren't housed. And lastly, my as I look at these three options you've presented to us, I kind of bristle a little bit, but I don't know if it's based on knowledge or fear. I bristle at the first one where we would have an ordinance making homelessness illegal potentially. We don't even have, I mean, what are we going to start putting people in jail? You know, that's one of my concerns is the unintended consequences of that. And I think there's lots of city jurisdictions across the country who've had experience with that issue of making homelessness illegal. So I look forward to where we're going. I think the impetus from Mr. Matthews in the West Milwaukee approach is embraced in our community. I don't know that you're asking us for final determinations today, are you? And last thing I'll say to you, Chandler, and to Jan and to harm reduction people in public health is, please guide us so we don't misstep and do something that your best judgment says, don't do that. I've learned over the years, listen to the people who know what they're talking about and breathe life into their vision and needs. So please guide us and make sure we're not misstepping politically on something that this is your world and your service area of provision. So I'm looking to learn more.
Commissioner Kopeck.
Yeah, thank you for this information. It is thorough. I think it hits on some really complex, challenging problems that not only our community is facing, but cities and communities across the country right now. But also recognizing we still have limited resources to address some of these issues, and we also have to work with several community partners that are also in this space and engage them in the right way. And it's going to take time because of the complexities and because of the limited resourcing. But I would like to see us pursue all three of these now within expectations that are manageable moving forward. We're currently in our budgeting process. And come back with these recommendations for a thoughtful discussion that begins with information and data and best practices. So I appreciate these next steps. I certainly also am very interested in the pilot of the master leasing strategy as well. I think that's a good next step that is real tangible to folks, and we can start engaging different community members in helping solve for this problem. But by doing nothing, it's not going to go away. We have some real issues that we are going to have to figure out collectively what are the solutions for within a budget that's confined. And we also, last comment, to your point earlier about working with legislators, which I also asked for when we had the transit brown bag, that needs to start sooner than later. We also need to be working with our area legislators on this issue. And where is possible funding sources, state and federally, to address the challenges that we have. And final comment. The Housing First strategy also is not about the city of Fargo buying homes for homeless people. That's not what this approach is about. It's about working with local area partners and agencies and leveraging resources that exist, for instance, in vouchers and other wraparound services and the mobile outreach unit, which is partially state funded, is so important. And that alleviates pressures from both our fire, police, and other departments that are also part of this complex issue. So a lot to think about. But again, for me, pragmatically, it starts with the information and the recommendations for a thoughtful discussion. So thank you.
Just so the commission understands, when we're talking about drafting an ordinance, presently the only ordinance we have it's a criminal offense, basically, which puts them in jail, John. What we're talking about is doing an ordinance as a misdemeanor. So it allows that you don't allow it, but it's a misdemeanor or fine or community service or something else. So you're not criminalizing the issue. You're just changing it. But we don't have an ordinance. That's what we have to look on and look at. And if you're going to move them into Housing First, we don't have a budget to do 20, but we have a budget to do 10. And that's what the staff has identified. We'd love to have 20 or 30. But again, to your comments, what your callback made, we haven't even looked at the health. But Jennifer's new to her job, and we have to look, Health Department, State of North Dakota, other options to help us in the funding, grants, writing, different things like that. But it is time, I agree with Mr. Kolpak. Let's look at it, continue to work at it, and all commissioners are invited to give feedback and information to you. We have a new commissioner coming on, she can give feedback. Let's get an idea of where you want to go, but let's not put it in a back burner, not address. Let's continue to address it over the summer. I do want to congratulate the harm reduction team and the police force right now. You're working very hard at this issue. We've seen great improvement downtown. We've seen great things happen. I've been to at least two events in Broadway Square last week, well attended, love for people about, and it was a great time for everybody. So, and we'll continue that. We have the police picnic this week as well. But Somalis are having something Friday. So we continue to engage the downtown, and Chandler, your team does continue engagement with the people that we need them to engage with. So thank you for that. Mr. Preston, one last word.
I would just make a motion that we direct staff to pursue the draft ordinance, the resolution, and the pilot project.
I'll second.
Any further discussion on that item? Roll call vote, please.
Preston?
Aye.
Kolpak?
Aye.
Pepcorn?
No.
Strand?
Yes.
Mahoney?
Aye.